You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, live with screenwriter Susan Coyne. Susan is the screenwriter behind The Man Who Invented Christmas. Starring Dan Stevens, The Man Who Invented Christmas tells the story behind the story of Dickens's famous A Christmas Carol. Following a young Charles Dickens, the story digs into the ethos behind the famed Christmas tale by examining the motivations and ideas that helped create iconic characters like Ebenezer Scrooge. In our chat with Susan, we get to talk about what it means to invent Christmas, the impact of Dickens's life on his work, and why the story has had such a profound effect on our culture. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Susan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's such a privilege to talk to you today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, I'm Canadian, so.
Oh, you are. Oh, wonderful. Okay, so am I.
I just think it's a weird time to have Thanksgiving, frankly. Can we be honest about that?
I always tell the American people on Screenfish that Canadians decide to do it right and do it early.
Exactly. And Thursday, what's that about?
That's a long weekend. That's Well, it's so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much. You're the screenwriter of The Man Who Invented Christmas, which was just a really great film. I really enjoyed watching it.
Wonderful.
The Man Who Invented Christmas tells the story of Charles Dickens writing A Christmas Carol. How did you come across the story for this particular film?
Well, somebody brought me, the producer, Robert Michelson, brought me the book, the nonfiction book by Les Sandiford, and said, do you think we could make a movie out of this, really, is how it happened.
Now, the story as well, it takes on a structure sort of paralleling A Christmas Carol. But I've also read that the process was really engrossing to him. What was it about this story of The Christmas Carol that Dickens connected with so much?
Well, there's this thing about it that, you know, when you go back and read the book and really think about it, And try to imagine the world before A Christmas Carol, you think, where did he get this idea of three ghosts? It seems like so obvious now, and so many movies kind of take that idea. But the idea of being haunted by the ghost of Christmas is such an odd idea, really. Hmm. And it occurred to me as I was reading the biographical details of his life that he was kind of haunted by his own childhood stories. And now, you know, more than ever, it was really becoming very front and center for him, the story of his childhood, both the good and the bad. Mm. But when it had been great, when everything was wonderful, and these wonderful Christmases they used to have in the country, and then when it all turned terrible. So in my mind, the writer himself is actually reflecting on the past, present, and the future himself, because he's in a crisis. He's in a terrible crisis with money. He's in a terrible crisis creatively, because he thinks he may have, you know, the well may have gone dry, and he's also in a crisis about the world, which is a very interesting part of it. He not only felt badly about whether he was ever going to write again, but also he felt, which some people, we all feel from time to time, what's the point of writing books when the world is in such a terrible state, and what should I be doing to make the world a better place?
That's an interesting point that you bring up, because there's a real sense of justice to Dickens's work. Could you talk about that influence?
Well, it's something I've been thinking about a lot, you know, and, you know, with all the sort of, a little bit of the hopelessness that people feel right now. I mean, it feels like a very dark time often. And sometimes it's comforting to think, well, it's not the first time in history that people thought, where are we going and what's next? Dickens, what I love about him is he was a vastly popular entertainer. People loved his books. They read them for the fun and for the characters and the humor. But that didn't stop him from feeling responsible to create a call to action and a reason for people to hope and a reason for people to be active. So I guess you would say he was a kind of popular moralist. Hmm. And that's a role that very few people are able or willing to take on nowadays, I would say. And he had this unique position that way. And maybe we need another Dickens nowadays.
Mm. One of the lines from the film that I just loved is, no one is useless in this world who lightens the burden of another.
Yes, that of course is a real line of his.
That's what I was going to ask. Was that a real line of Dickens?
It's a real line, and I think when I try to cast my mind back, I think it comes from David Copperfield. I think it's something that his aunt tells him, who is this wonderful moral force in the novel. I think it's some advice she gives him, if I recall. And it may have been something he said in one of his letters as well, but I have a feeling it comes from that book, which is his most autobiographical book. And I really think it's something he lived his life by as well.
You know, one of the themes I really connected with in the film was this desire to affect change. But it was also in conflict with this desire to be changed. Could you talk about that with Dickens, or at least in this film?
It's interesting because he creates this character who takes on a life of his own, and that's Scrooge. And the thing about Scrooge is, at least in our version, is he does not want to change. The magical thing about A Christmas Carol is that in the course of one night, this man realizes that he needs, you know, a major course correction. And it amused me to think of, because actually, none of us really want to change. We usually have to get kicked into it somehow or other. But it amused me to have this character who's sort of an extension of Dickens' own imagination, his own, a part of his own soul, let's say, saying, no, I don't think so. I don't think it would go that way. It's not really making sense to me. To have it be part of Dickens' own struggle to change. Because I think one of the things that's sort of a legacy of the Christmas Carol and our ideas of Christmas is the time of redemption. It's a time when, you know, we get second chances. We get to be better people. We realize, you know, that there's always hope, all those things. So I felt that there had to be that personal element for Dickens' story as well.
Yeah, thinking about A Christmas Carol itself, you're mentioning about some of the themes there. There are several of his that are considered hits, but, I mean, you mention about that he had two flops. I think they talk about him having two flops beforehand. What is it about Christmas Carol that has had such a profound impact for so long?
Well, it's a really good question, and I don't know if I know the answer. It seems to have hit a nerve that people keep going back to it. There are hundreds and hundreds of adaptations of it, novels, you know, movies, operas. Something about it, and I think it has something to do with the character of Scrooge that we all kind of identify with. There's something about him that I guess we all have a little bit of Scrooge in us, maybe. You know, we all know, you know, that we could be better, and we like our nasty, selfish habits. We don't necessarily want to give them up. So I don't know what it is exactly, but I have a feeling it all goes back to that wonderful character that he's created, who is a very human. He's not a stock villain. He's a very human character. And as we discover from his past, he wasn't always that way. You know, he was, he did have a love affair. He did have aspirations. He did have friends, but almost because of his lack of courage, he became this miserly, self-contained, secretive person. I think there's something that's just a very human story in the middle of that, that we can all identify with.
There are moments where Dickens seems to take on the role of Scrooge in many ways, and in particular with his relationship with his father. I was wondering what, from your understanding, their relationship was like in real life.
Well, I've tried to get at it in the film. He adored his father in many ways and said he was the kindest person you could ever meet, but he said he's just not a grown-up. You know, he's never going to grow up. He's hopeless. He was hopeless with money. He was very self-important. He was basically the model for Mr. Micawber and David Copperfield, somebody who was always saying something will turn up, eternally optimistic, sort of criminally reckless with money, and a dreamer, and a lover of the finer things in life, despite having no money. So he was a wonderfully complicated character in his life. And he could never, as much as he felt angry with him for you know, kind of imperiling the family with his reckless spending, he also recognized that there was something very wonderful about him as well.
I know it's based on a book, but I love the title about the man who invented Christmas. And that's an interesting way to introduce Dickens. And it almost seems counterintuitive given what we hear about the holidays. I was wondering, what do you mean by Dickens invented Christmas?
Well, it's so interesting when you read, I mean, we all know that, you know, the particular date of Christmas goes back to that sort of co-opting a Roman holiday, and there's a lot of sort of pagan elements of what we think of as Christmas, like the Yule log and the holly and the mistletoe. And it's always been this kind of mixed bag of a holiday. When Dickens was writing the book, it had become a very minor holiday. It didn't have any particular significance, certainly didn't have a lot of spiritual significance the way we think of it now.
Hmm.
So what he did was combine all these different, you know, the actual holiday with sort of more humanistic ideas about this being a social, a holiday about, in which we become citizens and think about our fellow man in a different way and think about our obligations. And I think what he think about children as being at the center of it, which was also kind of a novel idea. Think of it as being a time for family gathering. There's nothing in the book that's particularly about gift giving, for instance, or consumerism, but it is about celebrating life, celebrating one's good fortune, and also thinking about how to pay it forward and how to share that, your good fortune, with the less fortunate. It's a very powerful message about that. So in that sense, I mean, we talk now about the real meaning of Christmas, but in a way, it kind of goes back to Dickens. He was the one who said, there should be a meaning to this holiday. And I think that's, in a way, the sense in which we mean he invented it.
I love that it sort of got into the ethos of, you know, the justice and the holiday sort of pieced together. And you have those characters saying, this is a minor holiday. And that's just not how we think about it in today's culture.
No, exactly. It's hard to think of. I mean, it'd be Halloween 50 years ago or something. Like, it's kind of quaint, but, I mean, we don't really think of it as having a huge amount of significance. All Souls Day or something like that, you know?
Right.
And he took the idea and gave it this extra. And what's, I think, interesting about it is it's, in a way, it's an ecumenical story. It belongs to everybody, I think, in the way that he described it, is we're all human beings. There's a wonderful speech about it. We are, at Christmas time, we should really be thinking about our common humanity instead of what divides us. So,
yeah, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about the film, is that even though it's a period piece and has that sort of classical feel, there's something universal about the story that makes it so accessible in a number of ways.
I hope so, because I think that the book itself has that kind of quality to it, universal story.
Well, honestly, Susan, it's a wonderful film and a wonderful script.
Thank you.
It is in theaters today, and it's a wonderful family film to go see, especially if you're passionate about it. I guarantee that you've seen at least 10 different versions of the story of the Christmas Carol, because it's had that sort of cultural impact, and this helps get a little bit behind the ethos within the story. So, Susan, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much.
And for you at home, as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.